Good morning. Good to see y'all this morning. I see you left the front rows open today. That's good. I might get a little loud. We're going to break out of our study in Judges this morning. The Lord has laid on my heart a message from Ezekiel chapter 3. It's when I read this passage a couple of weeks ago, it's just grabbed a hold and it wouldn't let go. And so the Lord said, it's time to share it. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll open to Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to begin with verse 1 this morning. Our title this morning is A Word of Warning. Father, I ask that you open our hearts and ears to your word this morning. This is not an easy message, but Lord, I have to follow in obedience to what I feel you've called me to teach on. May your spirit do the teaching. May I just be a vessel. May your word come forth. And for those who have ears to hear, let them hear the word that you have for us today. We thank you for your word. We feast upon your word. We meditate upon your word. We need your word. So speak to us this morning, Lord. And let us be closer to you than we've ever been. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to pick up in Judges either, well, it won't be next week, may not be the next week, but we will get back to it because we're going to finish our verse-by-verse study there. But we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 3. God gave his word to Ezekiel through visions and images. He gave him a lot of different things that he was actually seeing. Now, Ezekiel was born in Israel and was called to be a prophet to Israel just before their captivity, when Nebuchadnezzar came in Babylon and took them all captive. His role as a prophet continued while he was in Israel. And it was in his captivity that God called him to be bold and to be direct, which a lot of the prophets were in the Old Testament. You look at Isaiah, you look at Jeremiah, you look at Ezekiel. And they spoke forth what God told them to speak forth. Now, the interesting thing is when God told them to speak, he also told them, but they're not going to hear. That's a hard word, isn't it? It's a hard word. But he called Ezekiel to speak what needed to be spoken. And in chapter 3, it outlines, if you will, the guidelines of a prophet when speaking to a rebellious nation. Now, in today's message, we're going to break this down. We're going to cover three total parts. Today, we're going to cover part one. And it speaks of eating the scroll, which for us represents the Word of God, and how he's called to preach this Word to a hard-hearted, rebellious people. When we get to part two, we're going to speak of how a prophet is accountable for his actions. So keep that in mind. And if he doesn't give the warning, he will have the blood of those who die in their sin upon him. But if he speaks all he's told to speak, he will be released from that accountability. We'll also see he will be speaking to two groups, the unrighteous and the righteous, as we get into that study. Now, part three, when we get there, speaks specifically to the prophet that he will be oppressed, but he's going to only speak the words that God gives him to speak. There's one part of that passage that says his tongue will be stuck to his mouth and won't be able to speak until God gives him the words. And then therefore he will speak what he's told to speak and let those who have ears to hear. Now, as we study this morning, I'm going to be applying this very word that we're going through to the church in the United States and into the nation that we live in. For I believe that this word is for us today. The timing is now. So let's begin. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. Go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate. And it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I've made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears, and go, get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. So first, let's look at this scroll. This image Ezekiel has seen here is representing God's word. What God is telling him to speak, he's given it to him. It's in a written scroll, and he says, now eat it. Digest it. Meditate upon it. Process it. He's to take this word, and that word will be his substance. It will be what he speaks from. It will be his word to the people, because this is what God has given him to speak. And the word of God is sweet to the soul for those who feast upon it. Psalm 119, 103 says, How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And Peter, he compares the initial word of God as milk. He says, as newborn babes, this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we know it's nourishment. And Paul tells us that the milk is only the beginning, and that we should now process solid food. We move on from the milk, on to the deep things of God, the Word of God that speaks to us and grows and calls us to understand and to be in knowledge and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3:2, he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And unfortunately, to the Corinthian church, he said, even now you're still not able. And then the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, 13, says, For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So for us, this vision Ezekiel has of the scroll is God's word. It is the fullness of God's word. It is more than milk. It is sweet. It's sweet to the soul of those who eat it and digest it, those who process it. See, the Word of God is to be focused upon. Word of God should be our primary focus as believers. The Holy Spirit who dwells within us brings this Word alive to us. And so therefore, as we read it and we meditate upon it and the Holy Spirit confirms it in us, we begin to understand, we begin to draw closer to Jesus. And it's by feeding upon His Word that we're being clothed in righteousness. And where the Word says we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? We get into His Word. We're into prayer. We're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're walking in relationship. This is what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk in the fullness of that relationship. Now, Ezekiel, he was told to go to the house of Israel, to those of familiar speech. In other words, his own people. He said, go to your own people and speak what I have to say. And notice in verses 5 and 6, he says, For you're not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. Now this reminds me of Jonah. When he was called to go to Nineveh and preach, he was sent to an unfamiliar people, non-Jewish people, cruel people. The Ninevites were not a good group of people. And their king was evil. But Jonah was sent to go. And we know he didn't want to. Why didn't he want to go to Nineveh? Why did he not want to preach that truth? Because he knew how evil they were. And in his flesh, he hated them. And because of his fleshly nature toward them, he knew that God might relent if they were to repent. So he didn't want to go. But when you're a prophet, you got to go. If you don't go, you don't want to wind up in fish vomit, as Jonah did. But he was called to go. He went. They did listen. They repented. But what we're seeing here this morning, Israel would not. Now, verses 7 through 11 show us how hard-hearted the people of Israel had become. And he tells Ezekiel, they're not going to listen to you because they're not going to listen to me. They haven't listened to me. But go. Speak what I tell you to speak. Now again, this is a hard word for Ezekiel to hear. If they're not going to listen, then why do I have to speak? Now I'm putting words in his mouth, but I think that would be the word that I would have. If they're not going to hear, why do I have to speak it? Isn't that just a waste of time? But it's never a waste. God's word is never a waste. It will accomplish what it's sent forth to do. It will not return void. That's what Isaiah tells us. But for those who will not listen, they will have to stand in accountability because they will have no excuse. There will be no excuse for those when they stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment and say, "Oh, I didn't know. I was never told." And God is placing the responsibility on this wicked people to listen and choose what they will do with what they hear. Now, verses 8 through 11, it shows us the hardness of Israel, but it also shows us how God has strengthened Ezekiel and his countenance to be stronger than theirs. And this is an important word for us today, because when we as believers are living in this world that we're living in, it's easy to be afraid. It's easy to let that fear kind of creep in and say, well, they're awful mean. I mean, look what they do to people. They'll just rip them apart. They make up lies. They do all of this dissension against anyone who stands against their narrative and against what they're saying. I don't want to have my life uprooted that way. But here's the thing. God will give you the strength. God will give you the countenance to stand toe-to-toe against the enemy, just as he gave Ezekiel. It says here in verse 8, I make your face strong against their faces. In other words, they're obstinate, they're rebellious, they're an evil group, and they've dug their heels in. But I am making you strong against them, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. It's like two rams coming together. But when we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we go in the power of God's Word. So why should we fear? There should be no fear. He says, like adamant stone, harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. And again, when you're standing in the face of opposition and you feel like a minority, and Ezekiel did, God said, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to make you stand firm. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm making your forehead so strong, they butt heads against you, they're going to fall over. They're going to be knocked down by the power of God. Now, what they do when they get back up is up to them. But Ezekiel was told, do not cower down. Do not stand in fear. And go forth and speak the words that I've given you to speak. It goes on here in verse 10, Son of man, receive into your heart all the words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. This is important because God is speaking his word into our hearts. Proverbs says, write it upon the tablet of your heart. Write that word upon the tablet of your heart. See, God is pouring himself into his people for those who will listen. God is pouring in to the body of believers who are true believers, who want to walk, who want to stand, and who want to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And he continues to pour in. He continues to build up. He continues to strengthen his people. But his people have to be willing to listen. And his people have to be willing to open their hearts and receive all that he's pouring into them. And if they're not willing, there's a problem. They become stiff-necked, hard-hearted, rebellious. And he tells him, he says, go to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse, speak. So, here in part one of our study in Ezekiel chapter 3, God gives Ezekiel his word. He tells him to speak the entire word that he's given. He's told that the hearers are impotent and hard-hearted and will not listen. And he's assured that God has strengthened him to stand, again, toe-to-toe with these hard-hearted people and not to be afraid of them. And this is the word the Lord's laid on my heart today. First to the church, and then to the nation. The nation of Israel is God's chosen people. And Ezekiel in this passage is speaking to God's people. He's not speaking to the world. So initially that's who he's talking to. And if indeed God's own people had become so backslidden and hard-hardened in his day, is it not true that it could happen in the church today? Well, it has happened in the church today, in the new covenant. See, the church is not immune to the seduction of the enemy. The enemy is always prowling around seeking whom he can kill and destroy. The enemy is always trying to bring people in to doubt. The enemy is always trying to seduce them with what's in the world. He did that with Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He called upon the name or the word of God and he spoke it right back to him. And said, no, you got it backwards. See, Satan doesn't have a huge arsenal. But he's good at the one he has. Deception and fear are two of the biggest tools he has in his arsenal. And as he comes at us with deception, he twists the truth. He takes God's word. He places doubt. Exactly what he did with Eve. Did God really say? What he really meant was. And of course, Eve doubted. And when she doubted, she took of the fruit she was not supposed to take of. And she partook of that fruit and gave it to Adam. And we're in the state we're in today because of the original sin. Well, Satan's been at it ever since. He's been out trying to deceive. And the church, particularly, I'm speaking to the church in the United States, has somewhat in their mind thought that they were immune. Look where we came from. We had a foundation that this country was built upon. And the church had freedom to worship. The church has freedom to teach. They were teaching kids in elementary school how to read with the Bible. And then today, the Bible has been removed from the schools. And I'll get back to that in a moment. That's part of the nation's message. But here in the United States, the church has been seduced into believing that because we've had so much freedom and so much prosperity, that we deserve it. How many commercials, how many things do you hear constantly in the media, get what you deserve? You deserve better. You deserve this. You deserve that. It's all about what you deserve. Well, the truth is that we deserved death, but God, in his mercy, gave us life through Jesus Christ. And the church has lost that truth. And we've gotten complacent. And we've gotten comfortable. And we've gotten expectations of the things of this world to be our blessings. and our relationship with Jesus has waned. And because of this attitude, and this may be offensive to some, but I'm sorry if you don't understand what I'm trying to say. I'm going to try to make it as clear as I can. We have blended our faith with our patriotism, and we become complacent and a nationalistic, weak Christianity. Because we believe that we're in such a blessed nation, God would never bring this nation down. Now, if I remember and I read the Pledge of Allegiance, and I know this was added, we discussed this Wednesday night in our prayer time, but it says a nation under God. But if you ever see flags flying and there's a Christian flag, it's still lower. They always fly it lower than the flag of the United States. I've never understood that as a believer. Because if it's under God, then that should be top. Then your patriotism. Then your state flag. Whatever flags you want to fly. But the point I'm making this morning is we've got it backwards. And we've allowed what we believe to be Christianity to be this nation and what it's been founded upon. And unfortunately, we've seen it wean away and be pulled down, and all of a sudden, this country is not a Christian nation. That is one statement that Barack Obama made that I believe that it was true when he made it. He said, this is no longer a Christian nation. And it's not. Because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and blended our faith with other things. And in our complacency, we've hardened our hearts to the full counsel of God's Word. We'd rather hear the warm and fuzzy. We'd rather hear the blessings of God. And so sin's not talked about a lot of places anymore. Judgment's not talked about anymore. The blood of Jesus is not talked about anymore. Oh, that can be offensive to some. We don't want to talk about the blood. Man, we need to talk about the blood. The cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that washes us white as snow. These old hymns that were written, we've had great theology in comparison to some of this music written today. It's all about me in the church. We're not the focus. Jesus is the focus. And we need to get our eyes back on Him. We've allowed our culture to dictate to the church what we're to believe or what we're not to believe. And if you don't follow their narrative and you don't agree with their point, if you don't go with their truth, we're to comply or else is what we're told. For those who have so much mercy and so much love for everybody else, the minute you say you don't agree with them, oh no, there's no love there. They hate the true church. The world hates the true church. Why? Jesus said so. He said, the world hates me, it's going to hate you. If you stand for truth, God's truth, the full counsel of God's word, the world is going to come against you. It is going to happen. It has begun to happen many years ago. It's happening more and more today. And many churches have become silent regarding what's going on in the world today and in our country today. They've become silent on God's holiness. It's no longer about the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. It's about the blessings of God. What am I going to get from Him? We've made the message all about cultural acceptance and welcoming all into the kingdom of God with or without the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. That's the new world message today. And a lot of the church has bought into it. Oh, we're supposed to, God is love. And what they've done is they've taken God and they've given Him the name of love. Well, that's an attribute of God. Love is one of His attributes. But that's not His name. And they don't want to talk about His holiness. And they don't want to talk about His righteousness. They don't want to talk about His sovereignty. And they don't want to talk about His judgment, because if He's love, everybody's welcome. Everybody can come in. It doesn't matter, really, the core beliefs anymore. We don't have to talk about sin because He's so loving, He just overlooks it. And we can all come together and we can all worship together, whether you believe in Jesus as the Messiah or not, whether you believe that he came to deliver us from the law of sin and death or not. If you don't believe that, it doesn't matter. Come in anyway. We got room. And if we got room, we can grow. And when we grow, we can have more money. We can have more power. We need more people. So let's don't talk about the hard stuff anymore. Let's just talk about the good stuff, the fun stuff, the easy stuff. This is heresy. And in the church in the United States, they bought into it. And ultimately, they're mocking who God is and what he's done to redeem us back to himself. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And this church in the United States is sowing to their flesh. They're going to reap what they're sowing. But the true church, those who have not bought into these cultural lies, those who have not given in to the deceptions of Satan himself, those who are not following after the cultural movements because they want to be included and accepted, those who stand firm on God's word, those are the ones that will inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the ones who will reap everlasting life, because those are the ones who have not bowed down to the evil that has crept in the front doors of the church in the United States. And this is the word that God has for the church. Repent! Repent. Every pastor, every preacher, every teacher, and listen to me, every believer. It's not just the pastors and teachers. They're going to be held more accountable, but they're standing up and proclaiming whatever they're proclaiming. If they're not proclaiming the full counsel of God's word, they will be held accountable. But every believer also will be held accountable if they don't speak what God tells them to speak, if they don't stand upon the fullness of his word, if they don't believe what they say they believe, they will be held accountable. We need to get back to the foundational truth of God's word and not be afraid to speak what we've been given. We have all we need. There are many today say, I really need more from God. I'm afraid, or I don't have this, or I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that. Listen, Moses tried that. It didn't work for him. He went, I'm a man of poor speech. I mean, God got a little flustered with him. Said, okay, I'll send Aaron, but you're still going. Jonah tried to run and hide. What does the psalmist say? Where can I hide from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? There's nowhere to go. And as believers, there shouldn't be any place we want to go, but in his presence. And when we're in his presence, he gives us boldness. And when we have the boldness, we can stand firm on what we believe. And we can speak forth that truth without cowering away and worrying about somebody saying this about us. Or what is Facebook going to say? Or Twitter? Well, there's a bunch of twits on Twitter. Get off of it. They call them tweets, but they're twits. We don't need to be social media in this stuff. We need to be speaking it from the sidewalks. And we need to be outside the church walls to do it. God has strengthened each one of us to stand toe-to-toe, just like he did with Ezekiel. He's speaking this to the church today who's lost their way. We need to be able to stand against those who have lost their way. And here in the church, here in Cartersville, they've just hired their first gay pastor in a local church. They're not a church anymore. Take church off your name, call yourself a community organizer or a social club, but don't call yourself a church of Jesus Christ if you're not going to believe his word and you're not going to stand upon his word and you bring somebody in that doesn't stand upon his word. Get rid of them! We have to stand in truth. We cannot hide away. And we need to speak the full counsel of his word. Matthew 10, 27 through 33. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some of us, he doesn't have to use a calculator. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever, hear this, verse 32, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. That's a true word spoken by Jesus. I don't want to stand before him and say, look what we did. We did all these good things. We gave food to the hungry. We clothed the homeless. We gave shelter. We gave all this stuff. And what does he say? But I never knew you. See, God's interested in a relationship. He's not interested in religion. He can raise up a stone for bread for the hungry. He doesn't need us for that. He will use you for that. When he calls and he places the call and he tells you what he wants you to do, you be obedient to that call, but don't think and go out and do all these things in his name and receive points and credit. It doesn't work that way. It's all about the relationship. It's all about being in him. Now, this is the word that God has for this nation. Repent! Same word. God tells us, he says, I've raised this nation up. I founded it on godly principles, and you've driven me out of your courts. You've driven me out of your meetings. You've driven me out of the schools. You've driven me out of every government place. You've removed me from every aspect of your government, and I've given you every opportunity to repent, but you would not. Therefore, since you've not turned back to me, I will bring you to your knees. And this is the word the Lord, I believe, is giving me to this nation. He's bringing it down. He's bringing it down. Unless there's a massive repentance that starts with the church and then flows into this nation, he's bringing it down. Job 12 says, 13 through 25, this is what Job said. And with him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel. He's speaking of God. He said, he has counsel and understanding. If he breaks a thing down, it cannot be rebuilt. If he imprisons a man, there can be no release. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the earth. With him are strength and prudence. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads counselors away plundered and makes fools of the judges. Sometimes they make fools of themselves when they open their mouths, but he loosens the bonds of kings and binds their waist with a belt. He leads princes away plundered and overthrows the mighty. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on princes and disarms the mighty. He uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. Now, I don't know about you, but this is what I see in our nation today. The wisdom is gone. The discernment is gone. When you cannot, as a government, stand behind science and say that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and you cannot mix the two, you cannot change them, no matter even the surgeries and all that, you cannot change the core of who they are because they're created who they're created to be. They're deceived. And the nations are deceived. Our leaders are deceived. And this is the focus of our president these days. This is his focus. Goes to all these summits, and what is he talking about it? Climate change and transgenderism. This is a problem because they've lost their wisdom. They've lost their direction. They're wandering a pathless wilderness and don't even know it. And we have to stand firm on what we believe and not be in fear. Now, the words of Isaiah, when he was speaking about the fall of Babylon, in Isaiah 14, 9 through 11, and this is a hard word, hell from beneath is excited about you. To meet you at your coming, it stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It is raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. Now, Babylon was a strong nation. God used Babylon to discipline Israel and bring them into captivity. But he also judged them. God has used this nation for many, many years to be a light to other lands. We'd send missionaries out. The church, they're still sending missionaries out. But I'm going to tell you what, we need the missionaries coming here. And South Korea are sending them every year. This is the second year they've done it. Last year they sent, I think, like 30 Korean teams, and they were praying right here in Bartow County. We went up to Pine Mountain, hiked up Pine Mountain, if you're familiar with it. We walked up there, and if you never heard prayer until you've heard 30 Korean people praying in their own language. Talk about tongues. It was a blessing to be a part of that. Well, they're not in Bartow this year, but they're still in this state. This year, I think they sent like 60 teams. Next year, they're going to send. And these teams are not sent by the churches. They're sent by themselves. They are paying their own way. And what they're doing is they're coming to pray for this country because they see the depravity that has taken over, and they're here to try to pray for us. Now, isn't that something? The mighty, the strong, the Christian light, the Christian land has become so weak that the other nations are sending people here to pray for us. Now, only God knows when this is going to take place as far as the destruction of this country. If you open your eyes, you see it's well underway. I don't know how long it's going to take. He may relent. If the church comes together in unity and begins to pray, and begin to seek him and humble themselves before him, God can do anything. He may relent. But when I'm seeing what I'm seeing today, I'm not sure that's going to happen. And we, the church, need to be awake and prepared. Oppression's coming. Persecution is coming. Suffering is coming. Laws are going to be passed, already are, out in California. It starts there and comes across like a wave. I don't know why, you know. Well, I'm not going to say what really comes to my mind there, but it comes across in waves. And then all of a sudden, these other countries, or the other states are making these laws, and Christians are a target. They're a target. I don't know if you ever remember the old Far Side cartoons. But there were two deer standing there talking to one another. One of them had a big target on his chest. And one said, bum of a birthmark. Well, the church has a target. And if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be targeted by the enemy. Are we prepared for that? Are we willing to stand no matter what comes our way? Are we willing to go forth and say, though you slay me, I will yet serve you, as Job did? Are we willing to stand in the presence of God and say, Lord, I don't like what's coming, but I trust you, and I'm going to stand in you no matter what, because you're all I've got. You're my substance. You're everything to me. And that should be the attitude of the church. My heart tells me that this is going to happen sooner than later. Time is short. Jesus is coming. And the question I have for us today is, how will he find you when he does? How will he find you when he returns? Are your lamps, thinking of the ten virgins that were waiting on the bride or on the groom, they're standing there, and five of them, they're full. They have all they need. They trusted, they prepared, they did what they were supposed to do. But the other five, the Lord was delayed. Now what? Oh, give us some of your oil. It's not mine to give. God gave us what we needed. We're going to keep it. We're not going to let our lamps go out. Go get your own. And when they were gone, the groom came. And they were left wanting outside. Sorry, don't know you. Door's closed. Now, you may say, well, that's the world. I mean, those are the ones who haven't accepted Jesus. I'm going to give you a little secret this morning. There are many that sit on the front rows of churches all across this nation. They're going to have that same thing asked of them. They're not going to be ready. Because their tradition, their religion, they've held on to, but they never knew Jesus. Are our lamps filled and ready? Or are we going to miss his arrival because you're not full of what he's already given you? See, today, we have all we need. When Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of God is in you. He didn't say you have to wait for the kingdom when you get to heaven. That's the blessed time when we won't have to deal with any more of this garbage down here. But while we're here, the kingdom of God is in you. He is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Word of God is in you. If you eat it, feast upon it, meditate upon it, understand it, ask for wisdom. James tells us we're to ask for wisdom, but ask believing that he wants to give it to you. If you just ask in doubt, then you're like a double-minded man, unstable in all of your ways. So we need to be stable. The only way to be stable is to be in Jesus. He balances everything. In my flesh, I'm unstable. All of us are. Some of us more than others. Some you can see it coming. Others, you get around them a while, it takes a little while to realize, oh, I'm quite stable. But the truth is that Jesus brings the stability. He brings the truth. He is the truth. So what are we going to do with what we've got? Are we going to toss it aside when we leave and go to lunch on Sunday afternoon and say, I'll get it next week. I'll come back and get another filling next week. Listen, you're running on empty from Sunday to Sunday. Or even if you throw a Wednesday in between. What I encourage you to do is to not come and just listen to me talk or listen to the word that I'm speaking, but I want you to go and I want you to study it for yourself. I want you to dive into the word yourself. I want the Holy Spirit speaking to you because that's what he wants to do. He's interested in you because you are the church. It's not this building. And so here we are. The word has come forth today. It's a word of warning, first to the church. Repent. Get back to the word. Stand firm on the truth. Let God be who God is. Don't try to make him who you want him to be. He will not fit in your box. And then the word to the nation is to repent. You've removed him. And because you've removed him, he's going to bring you down unless you repent. So here we are this morning. We need to come to the Lord. Johnny, if you would, when y'all come back up, if you will play that song. You sang it this morning in our prayer time. May my cry come before you, Lord. That's the song the Lord gave me back in many years ago. It's in Psalm 119, in one little section. This just came to me. And we've sang it here many times, but it's something that's really on my heart this morning. And when he sang it this morning, just registered to this message that this is who we need to be. This is what we need to do. And we can get the whole praise team back up. You can all come back up. I'm going to pray here in just a moment.
To the sky, may my lips overflow with praise, may my tongue sing of your word, may your hand be ready to help me, for I long for your salvation, O Lord, let me live. Unto the sky, may my lips overflow with praise, may my tongue sing of your word, may your hand be ready to help me, for I long for your salvation, O Lord.